The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now I want you to remember this.
The British people have voted to leave the European Union, and their will must be respected. The will of the British people is an instruction that must be delivered. It was not a decision that was taken lightly, so there can be no doubt about the result.
Well, when we first heard that announcement that the UK would be leaving the EU back in 2016, I don't think anyone imagined it would be four more years before it actually came to pass. But after three prime ministers, two general elections and numerous missed deadlines, a deal was finally reached on a bittersweet Christmas Eve.
At the end of a successful negotiations journey, I normally feel joy. But today, I only feel quiet satisfaction and, frankly speaking, relief. I know this is a difficult day for some, and to our friends in the United Kingdom, I want to say, parting is such sweet sorrow.
And after a speedy push through Parliament, it was signed into law just ahead of the UK's departure from the EU last Thursday.
I want everybody to understand that the treaty that I've just signed is not the end. It is a new beginning. And I think the beginning of what will be a wonderful relationship between the UK and our friends and partners in the European Union.
And that was Thursday week, in fact. But a working week on from the implementation of this trade deal, former Irish ambassador to the EU and the UK, Bobby McDonagh, is having a look at how things have changed and have things worked out for everybody. Bobby, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me on.
So we see there are teething problems for hauliers and so on, and they're using their imagination, using the Northern Ireland Protocol to get around constrictions at Dublin Port and Holyhead. You could say these are just teething problems and everything will work out all right in the end, or will it?
Well, I'll come back to the teething problems in a moment, but I think it's important to emphasise that Brexit is not a one-off event that happened in January last year or that took its full effect on the 1st of January this year. It's a slow puncture that will have profound long-term and growing impact. It's like a depth charge at the bottom of the sea, which has an immediate impact on marine life, but the ripples of which can only be seen over time. I just listened to your segment on COVID, and COVID, however bad it is, will pass in a year or two, but Brexit will not pass in a year or two. But come back to the sort of specific and short-term immediate impact. We've already seen the impact. We've seen delays at borders and so on. Now, some of those will improve because people will start getting their paperwork right. But the problems will also grow as trade begins to get back into full swing, at the end of COVID, but also post-Christmas. We haven't seen the full flow of trade yet. And we can see that there are delays, costs, bureaucracy and so on. So this was all the inevitable automatic consequences of Brexit, and in particular, of the hard form of Brexit that Prime Minister Johnson opted for.
You can see there are a number of issues about, fishing and so on, and where catch can be landed, and that will, of course, be subject to a review in time. But an interesting little, sideshow, Rockall. And I'm wondering, that used to be thought to be about oil and minerals underneath the oceans around Rockall, but perhaps it's more about fish.
Well, look, I'm not sure exactly where the issue of Rockall stands at the moment. If Rockall,
a British naval vessel interfered with an Irish trawler.
Yes, indeed. No, I mean, Britain has got sovereignty over the waters within 12 miles of its shore. But the issue about Rockall is where the sovereignty actually lies, and that's not a matter that has been resolved. But you're right to talk about fisheries in general. I mean, Reuters today carry a story that Scottish fishermen are describing the Brexit deal as a catastrophe because of all the bureaucracy and the necessary health checks that are taking place. So we're beginning to see, for example, the Irish Times today has a half page explaining how Brexit will impact on online shopping for people who want to buy from the UK in terms of VAT and bureaucracy and delays and even companies that aren't exporting out of the UK anymore. So, look, I think we're going to see the problems. In some respects, the teething problems will be solved. But in the long run, the problems are massive and are going to grow.
Now, whether they are teething problems or not, we've seen that some suppliers of goods to the United Kingdom are saying, we're not going to bother. We're just going to forget about the UK market and concentrate our efforts elsewhere. We know that some hauliers are now going directly from Rosslare rather than use the land bridge. Whether, again, these are transient effects and everything will settle down, or whether the UK will actually begin to feel some sort of a cold breeze blowing, I suppose we can only speculate.
Yes, well, all companies that are trying to export to the UK are coming across delays and bureaucracy and so on. I mean, in fact, the UK is in the process of recruiting more officials to manage its new Brexit bureaucracy than the entire staff employed by the EU. Now, some companies have taken a further step in saying, look, it's not worth all this bureaucracy and these extra costs, and they're not doing it at all. You know, each company is going to have to take its own decisions over the coming period. And, you know, some will probably continue not to export to the UK. Others will find ways of doing so. But it's clear that the impact on trade is going to be very significant. And Irish, you know, farmers and businesses are looking at developing the other markets that they already have. They're looking at new trade routes. And of course, they're also looking at managing the trade with the UK, which is going to continue to be very important, but it's going to be more difficult than it was before. Mm. But these issues, as now, I say, are not going to go away. I mean, the Brexit trade deal involves a partnership council with a secretariat, a trade policy committee, 18 specialised committees, 4 working groups, many reviews. And of course, you have the Northern Ireland Protocol as well. And then you have issues that are outside the trade deal, including how to manage foreign policy and the fight against crime. So Brexit is going to run and run.
Do you believe that the general public in Britain was aware of, if you like, the manifestations of the complexity of departure?
Well, the British public has been split down the middle from the very beginning. I mean, obviously the people did vote in favour of Brexit, but it was a very narrow vote. And you know, every opinion poll in the last year suggests that if the decision were taken again, the majority of people would like to stay. So I think there are many people, including people who are impacted, young people who will no longer be able to participate in the Erasmus programme and so on, you know, who are very aware of what's happened. But I'm afraid, you know, it's a little bit like we've seen in America, that when you start saying that you can have your cake and eat it, a lot of people actually believe that. Now, I'm sure that some of the people who voted for Brexit, including the Scottish fishermen, are now realising the reality of what they voted for. But it's very hard to answer the question of what the British public feel, because the British public is divided down the middle and the UK is also divided geographically.
Well, as you say, it's a process, Bobby, and no doubt you and I will be talking about that process and all the roadblocks that it throws up in the coming months and years. Bobby McDonough, former Irish ambassador to the EU and to the UK. Bobby McDonough, thank you very much.